But then I decided I'm going to wind things down. Hopefully I'm going to win the last big cases against Deutsche Bank, and then I'll take a big break, go horseback riding, go windsurfing, stuff like that. And then Corona came. Nobody really cares about the masks or social distancing, etc. Those were the steps that were used in order to make the people comply with whatever they were told. All of the people who are getting vaccinations are, in effect, guinea pigs. Absolutely, this is a planned pandemic. Because of the vaccinations, the effect of the actual virus, which they will run into in the fall, in the winter or spring, will be much, much higher, probably fatal. These financial institutions and what we now call the Davos clique has been looting our countries, has been stealing the taxpayers' money on a very large scale. That's why they need the story about a dangerous virus having escaped from the Wuhan lab, when in reality, nothing really happened. It makes perfect sense to not rely on the German legal system. And that's why right from the start, we decided to make this an international, a concerted effort. And so one of the plans is to revert back to regionalism instead of globalism, because this is what globalism did to us.
Hey guys, this is The Truman Show. And I'm going to do this podcast in English today because we are in Germany. We are with Dr. Rainer Fuhrmich, and he's a German-American lawyer. I will introduce him in a bit, but before I introduce him, please, guys, if you like the video, if you like the content that I make, it's free. So please go to my website, donate to help us make this possible. We are traveling to France, to Germany, and we're trying to travel to a lot of more places to hear the interesting stories and guests. Also, like, big tech is obviously doing his work, their work. So please help us by sharing the video, sharing your social media, sharing it with your friends, and subscribe to the channel if you haven't done that before. So to the introduction now, Dr. Rainer Fuhrmich, he's a German-American lawyer. He worked on a lot of big lawsuits against big companies like the Deutsche Bank in Germany and Volkswagen. He also did several lawsuits against the Corona measures. He's preparing several international lawsuits together with international lawyers now against the Corona measures as well. Thank you, Rainer, for letting us be here and have a talk with you.
Sure. I'm delighted.
Yeah. So what a year, right?
It's a wild ride, yeah.
I can imagine that you thought the year would be a slightly different than it is now at the moment.
I don't think anybody would have expected this to happen a year and a half ago. If you had told or asked anybody that a year and a half ago, if you asked them, what do you think? Is everybody going to wear a mask, including children, a mask that looks like a coffee filter? Yeah. I don't think anybody would have agreed. And I think everybody would have said, well, go back to your doctor, take your pills, and you'll get better.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
You're crazy. Yeah, I think so as well. Well, I think there are a small amount of people who thought this was coming, but maybe we will go to that later. So yeah, maybe I thought it was good to talk for a bit on the big cases you did earlier, so that the people that who don't know you, I think a lot of people do know you now, because especially people who are like against the Corona measures and then stuff, they know you because you did a lot of stuff already last year, international stuff as well. So, but maybe for the people who don't know you, like I told them, like told earlier, like you were doing the Volkswagen case and Deutsche Bank, like you did big cases already of companies who are like doing corrupt stuff, right?
Yeah, this is how my firm here started out. We used to be 17 lawyers, and we specialized, and I was going to wind things down. That's why my wife and I had moved to the United States and we wanted to live permanently at our ranch in Northern California. But up until then, we had specialized on representing consumers and small and medium-sized companies against large fraudulent corporations like VW and Deutsche Bank, and of course the largest shipping company, the world's largest shipping company, for bribery, that's Kühne & Nagel. So that's what we've been doing. But then I decided I'm going to wind things down. Hopefully I'm going to win the last big cases against Deutsche Bank, and then I'll take a big break, go horseback riding, go windsurfing, stuff like that. And then Corona came.
Oh, really? So you were actually about to move to California and like say goodbye to the old life.
Well, I was going to continue my work because I like what I'm doing. And also I have a couple of people who depend on me with their jobs. But I was going to take things a lot slower. And I needed a break. I wanted to recharge my batteries and then start with something completely new. But as I said, then in March of last year, Corona struck and we got all this information from our friends and relatives. And my wife decided that we should move back. I wasn't quite sure I was going to sit things out there, but that probably wouldn't have worked because as we all know, in the meantime, the same stuff happened in the United States that happened here in Europe.
I mean, especially in California, right?
Like, yeah. It's a pretty bad state. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, but then it happened in March. And I mean, I can imagine for you, like being used to like big corrupt companies that at a certain point, or maybe some quicker than other people, you were like, maybe something is wrong with what is going on now.
Yeah, I immediately had a feeling that there's something wrong. But I couldn't make sense of this. I kind of sensed that this was blown all out of proportion because on the one hand, you had the media coverage, which was panic, panic, panic. And on the other hand, there's no victims. We didn't see any victims. Talking to my friends and relatives, nobody knew of anyone who was sick, let alone anyone who died. So I called my friend Wolfgang Wodak and he explained to me that this looks like the swine flu 2.0. And then I watched a couple of videos from way back then, which is 10 or 11 years ago. And I got in touch with some of the people who he suggested that I shouldn't get in touch with, some of the experts. And that's what then finally convinced me that my wife is right, that we should go back to Germany and I should do what I'm good at, working as a lawyer. Except I had absolutely no idea that instead of going up against one large fraudulent corporation, all of a sudden I was going up against dozens of large fraudulent corporations, international corporations. Not I, but all of us. I have to emphasize this. I'm not alone. I'm working with a group, a growing group of lawyers. We're all internationally connected and we're trying to always be on the same page so that whatever we're doing is coordinated. All of the individual lawsuits are coordinated. None of this is by accident.
Mm-hmm. And the group is getting bigger, isn't it?
Yes. I think in the meantime, we're probably close to between 80 and 100 lawyers worldwide.
Yeah. It's like the media is trying really hard to frame you and frame everyone. Like, but you can't, like at a certain point, you can't frame like when there are like 80 or 100 lawyers, like you can't frame that anymore. That's just too much.
It's kind of difficult to claim that they're all Nazi, right-wing, right-wing.
Yeah.
Maybe some are. I don't think so, but maybe some are. But the group as a whole is just a bunch of really well-intentioned, well-trained lawyers, or else they wouldn't be on the international scene.
No. So you told me just now that you like it was like the swine flu. Mm-hmm. And actually that is like, it almost feels like the swine flu was like the general repetition actually for what is happening now at the moment. Like it's so many things looks like the same thing as Corona now, like the media, like how everything went, it's actually almost the same, right?
Yeah. Well, all the information that I have on Corona and on the swine flu, I have it only for one reason, because my colleague Viviane Fischer and I started this Corona investigative committee and in Berlin, and because we wanted to have answers. We wanted to get answers to the questions that we think everyone wanted answers to, which the government should have answered, but they never even made an effort to look at the other side of the story. They only looked at one side of the story, and that's the panic mode, which was all started by Drosten and Wheeler here in this country. And then through the WHO, it was spread through the entire world. But it all started here because Drosten is the guy who's responsible. He's the major puppet they're using in order to spread this panic and fear. Mm-hmm. The first question that we wanted an answer to is how dangerous is this virus? Because remember, the swine flu turned out to be just a mild flu. Mm. And now, in the meantime, the WHO and John Ioannidis, one of the most quoted scientists in the world, everybody knows his name in the meantime, from Stanford University, they both agree that the infection fatality rate is between 0.14 and 0.15%, which is roughly the same as the common flu. Mm. So what is this? Why all these measures, which we never had before? So that question being answered, the next question is, why are they doing this if there is no real health problem? Because if this was a health problem, they should have done this for every single flu wave that happened in the past, but they never did. Second question was, how much damage are the measures doing, both economically and health-wise? Well, everyone knows that the damage is immeasurable. A lot of people, for example, suicide rates are skyrocketing. A friend of mine told me that in the state of Idaho, it went up 300%. Jeez. In a hospital close to us in California, the John Muir Medical Center reported, this is last year, it's probably gotten worse in the meantime, they reported an increase of suicide attempts. I don't know if they're failed or successful, but an increase of, or no, they said in 1 month, they recorded more than they usually get in an entire year. Jeez. So those are the things that are really alarming, plus all these businesses that are going bankrupt. Question is this really collateral damage, or is that maybe intended? And the third question that we're asking is, how reliable is the PCR test? Because as we all know now, this is at the core of the whole thing. If it wasn't for the Drosten PCR test, he's the one who invented it, there wouldn't be a pandemic. Now, you have to keep in mind, he's the one who in early 2020, in January of 2020, when the first rumors came out of Wuhan that there's something going on, maybe a new dangerous virus, he immediately, I think on New Year's Eve, started to work on his Drosten PCR test. Mm-hmm. However, at this time, he and Wheeler and all the others, including our health secretary, were trying to calm the general population and explaining that this is nothing serious. This is just like the flu. Don't worry about a thing. Why is he working on a PCR test if it is so harmless? Mm-hmm. I think on January 22nd and 23rd, there was a first emergency meeting in the WHO of a special group of people who apparently had been pushed by the pharmaceutical industry to declare a public health emergency of international concern, PHEIC, pronounced fake. This is what they were after. They wanted the public health emergency of international concern. Why did the pharmaceutical industry and the people who invested in it, why did they want this? Because that is the basis for an emergency use authorization for the so-called vaccines, or for the conditional use authorization. This is in the United States, the emergency use authorization, or the conditional use authorization that they got here in Europe from the European Commission. They needed the declaration of a public health emergency of international concern. That's why they were pushing for this. Nobody really cares about the masks or social distancing, et cetera. Those were the steps that were used in order to make the people comply with whatever they were told. In fact, Wheeler, the guy who runs the RKI, he explicitly
RKI told, is a Robert Koch Institute, right?
Robert Koch Institute, which is the equivalent of the American CDC.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's a veterinarian.
Mm. Also in the Netherlands also, yeah.
It's very strange. You have all these puppets who have either no or a fake biography. But he explicitly told the public in a televised speech that these measures have to be followed without any questions being asked. Mm. What is that? That has nothing to do with democracy.
No. Or science.
or science. Mm-hmm. It's science is asking questions. So that's these additional steps were only, in our view, were only necessary in order to make the general public obedient, to make them comply with the measure, so that eventually what was really intended, and that's the vaccines, that eventually they would even accept the vaccines. And this is what's happening. The vaccines, which are no vaccines, we know in the meantime, of course, that these are experimental gene therapies. And there's no studies that have been conducted. The actual studies, or you shouldn't say studies, because that's something that's organized in some manner and that people are informed about. But the experiment is going on right now. All of the people who are getting vaccinations are, in effect, guinea pigs. So the first meeting they had on January 22nd and 23rd, I think, the first emergency meeting went nowhere because there were no cases and they couldn't agree on declaring a public health emergency of international concern. 2 weeks later, they had a second meeting, and this time they said, oh my God, this is a public health emergency of international concern. So what had changed in the meantime? Nothing, except that Drosten had given his test to the WHO, and they had used it in order to create what we now know are false positives, thousands of false positives. And that is the only, the sole basis for the entire pandemic. There's nothing else.
No, but also I think like a step early on that as well, that years ago, the WHO, they changed the definition of a pandemic, right? So now it's not only like how deadly a virus is, but also how big a spread. I think before you get an A status, and an A status would be a pandemic where you should, the WHO gets a lot of rights and stuff to do in all those different countries.
Yeah, this is they changed this. They changed the definition of what a pandemic is for the purpose of creating a pandemic out of the swine flu. So they changed it 11 years ago, I think, from, and it used to be three elements. One is a worldwide spread of disease, plus many cases of serious illnesses and many deaths. And then they got rid of the latter two elements. Now it's only a worldwide spread of disease, which makes it possible to make any common flu into a pandemic.
Yeah, because then you make a PCR test like Drosten does. But not only making the PCR test, because I had an interview with Peter Borger, I told you earlier, and like he is debunking the whole paper on which the test is made.
Yeah,
the Corman Drosten paper. And also the Dutch Marion Koopmans has written, was co-writer on that paper. Like he debunked it completely, but still, I think Eurovision, is it Euros? Yeah, I think Eurovision they're called. They still left it up, but it's not only that. It's not only like how corrupt the paper is, but it's also that the cycles, right? Yeah. Like normally on the PCR test, you're just only allowed to go like 25 cycles or something like that. And they just kept on cycling.
Well, the thing is that no matter how you apply it, it cannot tell you anything about infections.
No.
The actual inventor, a true scientist, as opposed to Wheeler and Drosten, the actual inventor of the PCR test is a guy by the name of Kerry Mullis. He got a Nobel Prize for it. A very smart, very funny, witty person, just a nice man. And he kept explaining to the public that his test is great to make things visible that cannot be seen by the human eye. I should phrase this in a more scientific manner, but that's what it boils down to. But he reminded everyone that his test cannot tell anyone about anyone having any disease or being infectious. Why? Well, the test cannot distinguish between live and dead matter. So whenever a positive test comes out of testing a person, it may very well be just remnants, the fragments of your body's immune system's successful fight against the common flu or the cold. A person can only be infectious if not just a fragment, but the entire virus has entered his cells and is replicating. That's when a person is contagious, and that's when a person usually has symptoms. That's the second lie that was required for all this testing of basically healthy people. He came up, Drosten again, came up with the idea that there's asymptomatic infections, meaning that people who show no symptoms can be a can be hazardous, can be dangerous for the rest of the world. That's completely new, because nobody will ever go to see a doctor if they have no symptoms.
No.
Because the first thing that the doctor is going to ask them is, what symptoms do you have?
Yeah.
What's the answer? I don't have any symptoms. Well, go home.
Yeah.
So that we know now that that is another false statement of fact, because there was a major study conducted in Wuhan, China, at the end of last year involving 10 million people. And it turns out that there are no asymptomatic infections. Even if there were, even Fauci admits, it wouldn't play any role whatsoever. So those are the two basic lies that are at the core of this. He needed to explain through the WHO, explain to the world's population that anyone, no matter how healthy looking, can be a probable cause of danger. And then the second idea that he has, the second false statement of fact, which is my specifically for this purpose designed PCR test can tell you about infections, that was used in order to single out those who are really infectious. First, you have the idea everyone is a source of potential danger. And that was the basis for a widespread mass testing of basically healthy people. And now comes the second step, which you're alluding to, the cycles of amplification. We have to emphasize that no matter how you apply this test, it can never tell you anything about infections. But if you use it in the manner that he used it, and everybody used his test, Drustin test, as a blueprint for their own PCR test, then it is bound to produce at least 97, if not 100% false positives. Because as you said, the cycles of amplifications go 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. And at 24 or so, I think you're up in the billions of amplifications. Mm-hmm. So that's why Carrie Mullis said, at a certain point, you can see everything. This thing shows you, this test shows you everything. And it always tests positive. But beyond 24, people seem to agree, regular scientists seem to agree that it is unscientific and you can't use it anymore. For example, the Frankfurt Public Health Agency disregards everything that is beyond 24 cycles of amplification. Dr. Mike Yeadon, the former vice president of Pfizer, who we interviewed on the Corona Committee, says that if you go to 35 cycles of amplification, you end up with at least 97% false positives. Now, the Drustin test was set at 45. Mm-hmm. That's how he created all these cases, which weren't any cases, but false positives. And all of a sudden, we have the pandemic. We have the public health emergency of international concern.
Yeah. So you're stating that without the test, without this specific PCR test, there would be no pandemic because exactly. There won't be any cases.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
And mm-hmm. and I think we didn't use a PCR before during flu season, right? It's only now that, mm-hmm. yeah. So yeah, you can see where it goes. Mm-hmm. And you know, they literally created the pandemic then. Yeah,
absolutely. This is a planned pandemic, as we know from these are published documents. Anyone can read this. Anyone can see this. It's about the Great Reset, for instance. There's other endeavors that are going in the same direction, but this so-called Great Reset is probably the agenda that's being pushed. While everybody's looking at Corona, people don't seem to notice that there's another agenda going on mm. that has to do with the destruction of the middle class, of small and medium-sized businesses, so that their market share can be taken over by large Anglo-American platforms like Amazon, for example, or Uber. But it also has to do with population control, which is euphemistic for getting rid of a lot of people.
Mm.
So those are the things that we should really be worried about. And if we look at these, at this agenda, then all of a sudden it makes sense that there are so many adverse side effects from the so-called vaccinations, which we think is an accident. This shouldn't have happened. This is not part of their plan. And that's why I think this is helpful for us.
Mm.
All these adverse side effects that first happened when they first started to vaccinate the elderly people who are living in nursing homes, for example, it seems to us that from the numbers that we're getting, not just here in Germany, but from all over the world, about 20% of the people who in these nursing homes who got vaccinated died within 3 weeks of receiving these shots.
How many percent?
About 20%. Yeah, it's a lot of people. The funny thing is, it's not funny, but it's weird, is that when my colleague Viviane decided, because we had a whistleblower telling us exactly this story with lots and lots of evidence from a Berlin nursing home, she decided to file a criminal complaint with the Berlin prosecutor's office. And they wouldn't look, they wouldn't even look into this, because they're saying, we think that there's no causation. It's their job to find out if there is causation. We think that there's no causation. We're going to start looking into things once doctors tell us that there's something wrong. Well, what do you expect from a doctor who's administering these shots? Does he really go to see the police if his patients die? I don't think so.
No. And even I don't know how it's in Germany or in the States, but I know in the Netherlands, like a doctor, a practical doctor, he family doctor, he tried to report some vaccine deaths, but it was nearly impossible to like, he had like to do like 5 phone calls, emails, and they were asking like, oh yeah, did you test them on corona? Because obviously if it was a positive test, then it would be a corona death and not a vaccine death. So that's the first thing. And then after that, he had to like call them like 5-6 times to really get it registered as a death of the vaccine.
Yeah, they're trying to give anyone a hard time who's trying to make a connection between the vaccines and the deaths that are occurring. However, there is an official register of adverse side effects, probably in most countries. One is in the United States. It's called VAERS, V-A-E-R-S. And the official numbers of deaths in connection with the shots that are reported are 30 deaths a day, which is a lot. And this was not reported by some obscure alternative media, but it was reported by the mainstream media, in this case, Fox News and Fox News's Tucker Carlson. However, if you know, and this is correct, that only 1% of the actual adverse side effects are reported, then this number is, of course, very, very low. It's instead of 30, it should be 3,000. And that corresponds with the numbers that we're getting from the United Kingdom, from Israel, and from other countries, despite all the difficulties that people are having in getting this information, collecting this information, and then getting it out. That first example that I gave you from VAERS, that's an official number. If you, again, if you add to this the fact that only 1% of the reported cases are reported, of the actual cases are reported, then you get a really, really high number of deaths.
Yeah. But you just told me that if depopulation is like a big thing on the agenda, then actually it wouldn't be that weird that we see a lot of side effects now, right?
Yeah, but I don't think that this is intended. I think that in order to push through with this agenda, it doesn't make any sense to alert people to the fact that there are really, really, really dangerous adverse effects to this. Rather, I think their idea was to get, without any problems, to get everyone vaccinated, and then wait and see what happens in the fall, in the winter, and the next spring, when people will eventually get in touch, come in touch with another real wild virus, either the common cold or the common flu or whatever. Because that is what the experts who we talk to, that's what they expect. They expect these people who receive these shots to then suffer really serious effects. And basically, one is because the vaccine, the so-called vaccine, produces, or your body starts to produce the spike virus. Again, I'm talking about this in a very unscientific way, but this is what I got from the interviewing all the experts, including Wolfgang Wodak, including Mike Eden, including Professor Bhakti, Dolores Kahle, and others. One of the effects that are expected to happen is an autoimmune problem. Mm-hmm. Because the bot, Wolfgang Wodak explained to us that the virus, which is a respiratory problem, enters your body through the nose and the throat. And that's where usually your immune system fights it and kills the virus if everything works according to plan, because that's how the body should work. If you eat a healthy diet, if you exercise, all these things, get enough vitamin D. But if you bypass this by injecting the virus, the spike protein directly into the body, and then having the body produce this spike protein, then what may happen is that the body will not just fight what's coming and attacking from the outside, but it may be attacking itself, because that's what's happening within the body. Another problem is, of course, the clotting, the blood clotting, which leads to thromboses. It has already caused a number of deaths. Apparently, one of the people who suffered very, very serious damage from this is a 31-year-old woman who's going to testify on our Corona committee tomorrow, for example. And another problem that people expect to happen is, this is called antibody-dependent enhancement, which means that because of the vaccinations, the effect of the actual virus, which they will run into in the fall, in the winter, or spring, will be much, much higher, probably fatal. Mm. Why do the experts think that this is a possibility? One of the experts is another Nobel Prize winner, Luc Montagnier from France. Why do they think this is probably going to happen? Because in 2005 and 2012, animal tests were conducted with, I think, another mRNA quote-unquote vaccine. And because of this ADE, all of the animals died.
Yeah, I saw this as well with ferrets.
Yes, ferrets and cats.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. That when they encountered the real virus, they all started to die.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why these experts are expecting this to happen.
But that is also one of the reasons that it haven't been applied yet on a bigger scale in our medicine, right? Because
yeah.
it's so dangerous.
That's probably technique. Yeah, and that's probably the reason why they didn't conduct any animal testing this time, because they probably knew what was going to happen, because the same thing happened in 2005 and 2012.
Yeah, but and the thing also is because it's you told us earlier it's an experiment.
Yeah.
But normally you're not allowed to use experiments on human beings mm-hmm. when there is some kind of other medicine, right?
Yeah.
And I do believe we have some kind of other medicines, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of alternative or complementary drugs that can be used. One of them obviously is not a drug. That's vitamin D. I mean, go out into the sunshine, which you can't do in the wintertime, but still.
And which you're not allowed to do so.
Yeah, yeah, for a reason, probably. Another of these seemingly well-working drugs is ivermectin. There's a bunch of others that some of the experts that we interviewed explained to us about. But basically, there are other ways of treating people successfully and at almost no cost. So why is that not being taken into consideration? And why is it not being taken into consideration that we have already reached the stage of herd immunity? Why is nobody listening to the older videos that have now come out into the open again? There's, for example, I showed you before we started this interview, an older video with Drosden, where he explicitly states that people who are infected usually get acquire lifelong immunity. So what do you need vaccinations for?
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the good question. I think that's the big question where probably we do already have the answer for, right? Yeah.
You don't need them for health. You need them for death.
You need them for death. Yeah. Yeah. Or, well, at least before death to control yeah. the population. Because, yeah, I think it's not only that they want us to die or be like less humans, but it's also to, and that's where the Great Reset comes in, obviously, is that the financial system is collapsing, right? So they need a new one. And in order to implement that system, we all need to be like, use like a social credit system, something like that. Mm-hmm. And then you have the Corona passports and the vaccine passports to apply them.
It's a very good point, because that is precisely what's at the core of this. Why are they doing this? Well, one of the reasons, one of the most important reasons, is indeed that the financial system is on the verge of collapse. It collapsed 12 years or 11 years ago when we had the financial crisis. That's when everyone who was responsible should have been held accountable, but nothing happened. Instead, the governments, which we now believe are not really our governments anymore, but only the puppets of large financial institutions, decided to print money. But you don't have to be a rocket scientist in order to understand, if you run out of money, because in this case, these financial institutions and what we now call the Davos clique has been looting our countries, has been stealing the taxpayers' money on a very large scale. Now, if you run out of money, you're not going to be saved if you print your own money. No. It is not going to make a difference. This time, I suppose this is from the information that we gather from interviewing investment bankers like Catherine Austin Fitz or Leslie Mnookin. They're saying that Europe is in very dire straits. Europe is completely broke. The ECB, because it purchased all these practically worthless papers, is broke, and our pension funds are broke. So they're gone. Yeah. If the public finds out about this, then I think there will be a backlash, and they'll understand who's responsible. It's the Davos clique. It's the self-appointed political elite and the self-appointed corporate elite, which have been stealing our money for years, probably for the last 30 years.
Yeah. I think in America, even they printed about like 70% of all dollars ever been printed in 1 year last year.
That sounds like, that sounds plausible. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, it's bound to happen anyway that it collapses.
So we're going to have to come up with a new system. Us, not them. We're going to have to come up with a new system. I think, and this is what the Corona Committee is going to focus on, because we have to make plans. We have to make an offer to the rest of the world, and it has to be an attractive offer. We have to live in a better world, but that's not enough. You have to have concrete plans. And one of the plans is to revert back to regionalism instead of globalism, because this is what globalism did to us. Now we're dependent on global corporations for our food, for all of our supplies. So let's focus on the communities and the regions that we come from, and establish cooperations of small and medium-sized businesses, because none of us needs large corporations. Let's establish cooperations between small and medium-sized businesses and the local farming. That'll probably be the most important step to take. And afterwards, we can think about healthcare and education, et cetera.
Yeah, we need to step out of the current system.
Yes.
And I also think that why still a lot of people believe in the governments and the big companies is because they don't see an alternative. Mm. And if you don't have an alternative in your head, then you're bound to like grasp on the old system, because you're too afraid to open up to maybe a new system.
So correct.
I do believe that it needs to start bottom up. Mm-hmm. And we need to show them like a new system and how great a new system can be for the other people to say goodbye to the old system and go to the new system. But the only thing which worries me then is that if they all take the vaccination, if they all take the vaccine, then I don't know how it will look in after the summer. And and the thing what worries me as well is you just told us earlier is that after the summer they probably will get affected with a new virus or some kind of virus, and then they will die. But I know for a fact who will be blamed for that. And that will be the people who are not getting vaccinated.
Yeah, or the umpteenth new strain of the virus. What they're going to try and do, and this is a new narrative that has just come out in the United States, for example, but it's spreading. The new narrative is, oh my God, we finally found the culprit, and that's Fauci. Fauci is one of them. That he's going to be thrown under the bus. So is Gates, because they're not fully in control of their stories anymore. However, this is a false flag. What is being reported is we have just found out that Fauci is a liar. He's been involved in gain of function studies at the Wuhan virology lab, and he is responsible for covering up that there was an accident in late 2019 in the course of which a dangerous virus escaped the lab. That is two stories in one. One is Fauci is a bad person, and the second story is the much more important one, because the first story is only the vehicle for transporting the second story, and the second story is false. I mean, Fauci probably is a bad person because he was involved in gain-of-function experiments, and he obviously spent taxpayers' money, the American taxpayers' money, on all kinds of experiments that were really prohibited. And there was an accident at the Wuhan virology lab in late 2019. That's quite obvious, because even the Chinese thought there was an accident, because they took more or less took their entire website of the Wuhan virology lab down. So they were really scared. They were trying to cover up their tracks.
Yeah.
But it turns out nothing serious happened. So even if there was, if they were working on a dangerous virus, and even if whatever they were working on escaped from the lab, it wasn't dangerous because no one really was killed. No one was killed. And if you want to create a dangerous virus, it can't be a virus that kills its host, because if it kills its host, it's not going to spread, you know? So that was a false flag. But Bill Gates, Fauci, Drosten, Wheeler, and all the others that have been working on this Great Reset agenda, and that have been practicing for this event to happen and to be rolled out for at least 10 years. The last time they actually had a kind of a dry run for this was in October of 2019. That was Event 201.
Yeah.
But they all of them decided, for, we believe this is what happened, they decided this is great. This is the stepping stone, or this is the event we're going to use in order to start with our agenda. And that's when they decided we're going to have Drosten invent his PCR test. But as we know, there is no dangerous virus out there, because if there were, people would have died, and they didn't. Mm-hmm. So what happened afterwards is the creation of a pandemic that isn't. Rather, it's a PCR test pandemic, because that's what they needed. They needed the pandemic in order to go forward with their agenda, which ultimately leads to vaccination, which is dangerous and which can be used. Apparently, Moderna claims they can program people who get these injections like a computer, which leads to controlling of those people who will survive this.
Yeah. So I want you to tell a bit more about that later. But first, I think you're making such a good point, because now at the moment in the news, also in the Netherlands, everyone's like, yeah, the virus has been created in the lab. After all, so Facebook were like, okay, we're not going to leave messages anymore saying that the virus was created in a lab. But it's too like fishy, but also too obvious.
It's actually very obvious. Yeah,
like if the media is turning now, then there's something else behind it, and I couldn't
very
quite
good.
Put my finger on it. But now you're saying it like this, it's super obvious. It's again like to throw people for the bus, but also again to give you the illusion that we're dealing actually with the virus.
It's important to have the general public, to keep them in panic until the fall, and then in the fall and in winter, when all these other adverse reactions are going to happen that we talked about, they're going to claim, see, like it's just like we told you, this is a dangerous virus. This is a new variant of this dangerous virus. That's why they need the story about a dangerous virus having escaped from the Wuhan lab. when in reality, nothing really happened. And they were just using the story. Yeah, it's good marketing. It's their excuse for starting the PCR test pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. And then after the summer, when the vaccinated people start dying, then they will pin it on actually a serious virus. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that they can continue with more and more vaccinations, because that's the only way you can fight a dangerous virus, they claim.
Yeah. So, well, that's the plan, right? You need to be vaccinated every, say, twice a year or so.
Yeah, probably every 10 seconds.
Yeah. On this rate, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but what were you telling about? The Moderna told that they can control people with this vaccination?
Yeah. And it's one of their official statements, actually. It's been published, and they're claiming that through these through giving these shots, they can literally program people like computers. We'll see if that happens.
Sure. Yeah, we'll see. Right. Okay. So but you're doing lawsuits, right? You did some before the last year.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're preparing a couple of them again, like big international ones, right?
Yeah, there's going to be three major cases that are going to be filed by the end of June. This is what we agreed upon with the group of international lawyers who are cooperating here. Mm. I can only talk about one of these cases because it's already common knowledge. Our friend Michael Swinwood in Canada has filed a class action, which is supposed to become an international class action. Now, what is a class? Right from the start, I realized from my experience in the German courts of law, from having to fight large fraudulent corporations, that our courts of law are not capable of dealing with such things, because the pressure and the influence of corporations through their lobbying politicians, and then politicians exerting pressure on the presidents of the courts. Right from the start, I realized they're not going to be able to cope with this. I know, of course, that not everyone is corrupt. Mm. This is a type of corruption we're talking about, and that there are exceptions to the rule. But I don't think there are very many of our judges who are independent enough to deal with this. And as we, as you mentioned before we started our interview, one of the judges who actually did his job, because a couple of parents turned to him and said, listen, we think that there is, there's a lot of danger for our children in the schools for our children's well-being, because of the mask mandates, because of the mandatory PCR testing, social distancing, et cetera, et cetera. And this judge simply did his job and decided, well, it sounds plausible. I'm going to look into this, but I can't decide on my own knowledge because I need experts. I'm not a psychologist. I don't know anything about PCR tests. I don't know how dangerous or effective these masks are. So we had three professors who wrote him expert opinions. And based on these expert opinions, he said, yes, these parents are correct. I hereby order the schools not to stop these measures because it's dangerous for the children's well-being. And a couple of weeks later, the prosecutor, probably at the behest of a green politician, the local prosecutors raided his offices, his home, and his car. They searched his office, his home, and his car, and they seized his cell phone and his computer. He's gotten these things back because he's got very competent representation through a very experienced, very good criminal defense attorney. But that shows you to what length the other side is willing to go.
Mm-hmm.
That is clearly illegal, obviously, blatantly illegal. And similar things are happening throughout the country. So that's why, and this, I have seen these kinds of things, except not in this blatant aggressiveness. But I've seen this before. I have seen similar incidents while I was representing my clients against Deutsche Bank, for example, mm-hmm. because all of a sudden some of the judges, again, not all of them, but quite a few, simply repeated what Deutsche Bank wrote in their briefs. Some of this, I'm not going to explain this because it requires too much time, but mm-hmm. it's obviously totally, completely idiotic what Deutsche Bank claims. In essence, what they're claiming is that it is normal for Deutsche Bank to give people who intend to become customers of Deutsche Bank money without even a loan contract, mm-hmm. hoping for these people to sometime later return and write a loan contract. This is idiotic, obviously, but that's what they wrote in their opinions. So from this experience, and if you look at the new experience, it makes perfect sense to not rely on the German legal system. And that's why right from the start, we decided to make this an international, a concerted effort, and get the Anglo-American legal system in because it's so important, because they have a real law of evidence. We do in theory, in practice we don't. No. And it's called one of the most important pieces of this law of evidence is pretrial discovery. And the other tool that is very, very important from the Anglo-American legal system is, of course, class actions. And class actions means if you have a large group of people that suffer damages because of the same one and the same event, in this case, it's the lockdowns. In other cases, it was... some 17, 18 years ago, I represented a woman in a very large international class action that was about defective breast implants. They were leaking and mm-hmm. causing great, great physical damage. So what this boils down, what this means is that if you have a large group of people who suffer damage because of one and the same event, the court can allow the lawsuit to go forward as a class action lawsuit. And if a court decides that, then they will inform everyone who potentially suffered damages from this through the mainstream media. And then everyone anywhere in the world has a choice. They can either join the class or they can do their own thing. You don't have to join the class. But if you do join the class and this case goes forward, then one what they call representative plaintiff, someone who suffers typical damage, his case will be tried. If he wins, all the others in that very same class also win. That's what makes it such a powerful tool, because it's, of course, extremely expensive and very time-consuming to have millions and millions of people try their own cases, their own individual cases.
Yeah. But then I think one of the biggest questions I have for you, like for this interview, is, and I think a lot of people at home have the same questions as well. I think the last year showed us how broken every single one of the systems is that we are living or using now at this moment. Is politics, it's justice, it's like hospitals, like medicines, whatever. Like all the systems are so broken. Like, do you still have faith in this one now?
No, that's why I'm saying no individual legal system of any individual country is capable of dealing with this. Germany's legal system certainly isn't. It's corrupt. Not everyone is, but those are the exceptions to the rule.
The system is.
The entire system is. It's not just the legal system. The entire system is. That's why I'm saying we have to start thinking, and we have started to think about an alternative way of living. We have to get away from globalization, because globalization makes us dependent on global corporations, which are privately owned and which have in the meantime taken over our governments. Mm-hmm. That's why we need all politics is local, as they say. So that's why we need to revert back to regionalism. And we also have to come up with something instead of our current monetary system. We need a whole new approach to the economy and finance. We also need a whole new approach, because the entire system is dead, a whole new approach to healthcare and education. But the first thing we have to think about, because is the economy. If there's no economy, there's nothing.
No.
But then one step after another. And I know that a lot of people are already thinking about these problems and are trying to come up with solutions. And in actually, there are some people out there who are already practicing alternative ways of living together in a more humane way with empathy, because that's what's gotten lost. The people who are now governing us, the governments of this world, who are playing along with the, I'm going to call them the Davos clique, they are completely without empathy. And that's what makes us human, empathy. Mm-hmm. Because how can you order people who are dying to die isolated from their loved ones? How can you do that? Mm. You can't do that if you're human.
No.
These people are monsters.
Yeah, they are. And I think what that's a positive take on what is happening now is that hopefully a lot of people will wake up and see what is happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but then again, on the legal system, because you're still doing the international lawsuits. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Our friend Michael Swinwood in Canada, he has filed an international class action in the province of Ontario. And he is about to file another international class action for children only. Mm. There's two other large cases that are going to go forward by the end of June, maybe mid-July. One is a criminal case, and the other one is a big case that, if we're lucky, is going to help free an entire continent. We'll see.
Mm, okay. So, but you still hope for the best, or maybe maybe still positive on those cases.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, we don't have a choice. We have to fight, and we have to. I don't think that the legal efforts are enough. We're going to need to fight on three different levels. One is the legal front, of course. The other is educating people about the true facts, about what's really going on, transparency. And the third level is something that we have that I wouldn't even have that wouldn't even have come to my mind a year and a half ago. And that's most people call it the spiritual level. Or some say it's a religious level, that also comes into play. And I know that the other side has no access to this level, but we do, if we play our cards right. Some of us are in touch already. Some people claim there's a sixth sense or something, but there is a spiritual level, definitely. If you had asked me about this a year and a half ago, I would have said, oh, yeah.
I'm totally on the same page as you are. I know, like, now a year and a half in this situation, I agree with you on that point. I think the people who are behind this plan are trying to get us away from the human life, into the robot life, so to speak, mm-hmm. with the weird vaccinations and stuff and with the social credit system. And I think the movement against that should be the movement to humanize us again,
exactly.
To bring us back to the human life and see our real potential, because that's been taken away from us years ago. We don't know our real potential. So, but can I state correctly that if you're doing the lawsuits and stuff, it's the biggest reason to still do it is because it must, but also to, like, hopefully awaken a bit of the people, like to show them how the system works and how corrupt it is.
And without a doubt, not all the judges all over the world are corrupt. Many are very, very good people. That's why there's been some success as far as the PCR test story is concerned, which I consider it's a good thing that many people are trying to work on many different fronts, even in the legal system. But I consider the PCR test the centerpiece of the whole pandemic. If that goes, then the whole house of cards is going to collapse. That's why that is what we're focusing on. All the cases that I have filed here in Germany, me and my colleagues have filed here in Germany, are based on the PCR test. But in addition to the fact that we just have to do it because we don't have a choice, some of these cases have been successful. There are three decisions in favor of the plaintiffs with PCR tests at their core. The first one was the one in Portugal. Then came another one in October, I think, of 2020. Then came another one at the beginning of this year. That was a decision by a by an Austrian administrative court. And the third one is the one that we talked about by the family law judge in Weimar here in Germany. Mm-hmm. So there is a, it's not without hope to proceed with our legal efforts. On the contrary, there are probably quite a few judges out there who just don't dare speak out and come out into the open. But when the tide turns, and it will turn, they will come out of the open, because nobody wants to be the last one on this lost ship.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think that's about it. I think, well, the last thing maybe it's good to, because especially in the Netherlands, we see a lot of news articles, well, on, not in the mainstream media, obviously, but in more alternative media, is they're all writing a lot about what you're doing. And they're all writing also about, like, they call it themselves a Nuremberg trial. Yeah. And I think it's good to talk about that for a bit as well, because the thing is, the messages that I get from a lot of people is they see you as like, yeah, Ryan Fumich will save us. And I think to some extent, I think your work is super good. And I think it awakens a lot of people. And hopefully, even in the justice system, you will accomplish a lot of good stuff. But yeah, as you told me before the interview, like, there's not like a thing like a Nuremberg trial, for example, and it's just a bit hope for alternative media to write it down like that, right?
Yeah, but there are a lot of false stories out there. For example, the story about me and 1,000 other attorneys filing and already having begun our work on a Nuremberg 2.0 trial. That's false. I mean, I have been telling, this is my opinion, that eventually we may very well end up in a situation in which we will have to have an international corona court, sort of like Nuremberg 2.0.
Yeah.
But we haven't even come close to that yet. We're going to need, first of all, we're going to need a place where this can happen. Mm. Where are you going to have this? It's probably going to have to be some extraterritorial place. Some kingdom, some obscure kingdom. We don't know. We need judges as well. Yeah, something like that. Another story is that Professor Dolores Cahill of Dublin University and Bobby Kennedy and I have filed a class action complaint in Canada. That's not true. I do cooperate closely with my friend Bobby Kennedy, and I do cooperate with Dolores Cahill and many others, but we haven't filed any cases together. The class action that's been filed is the one by Michael Swinwood, and he will file another one, the one that we spoke about, the children's class action. And there's efforts underway of something similar happening in the United States. That's true. But what's been reported about my and my colleagues being able to walk over water, that's not really true.
No, but
we're doing our best.
Except
we will.
You're still doing great, great, great work, though. Yeah.
We will win in the end, because there's no other way. We have to win. And we're the ones who are going to call the shots. Those one of the professors of psychology who we interviewed, he said that in order for a democracy to work, you need people with moral competence. Moral competence requires two things. One, the ability to ask questions rather than to blindly follow orders, and the ability to discuss other opinions rather than to kill the other person or call him a Nazi or right wing simply because he has a different opinion. And he says that only 80% of the people have this moral competence. However, you can learn it if you are taught what this is about. But at this point, it's only 20% of the people who have this moral competence, and that happens to be the group of people who are questioning the corona measures and who are working together in a very effective way, I think, to stop all of this. Now, if you consider that only 0.000 something percent of the population is trying to cause very serious harm to the rest of the population because they're afraid of us, that is at the core of this. They're afraid of us. They're afraid that that we're going to find out about them. Hmm. If you take that into consideration, then the 20% on our side is a lot. Now you're going to ask, what about the other 80%? They don't really play a role because they're always going to follow the leader. They're always going to follow orders. We're the ones who are questioning things. We're the ones who are ready and willing to discuss stuff with the other side, not the other side, but with the other 80%. And that's why we're the ones who are going to call the shots.
The truth will prevail eventually.
It always does. In the end, it always does. Yeah.
Very hopeful and positive ending to the podcast.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Rainer.
You're very
welcome. Good luck with everything, what is coming up. Keep us posted. And good luck. And thank you for this.
Thank you.
Guys, thank you for watching. If you enjoyed the video, please go to my website and donate and help us to make more videos, obviously make more content. And also share this video with as much as possible friends and on social media as you can do, so we can spread the word. Thank you for watching, Rainer. Thank you again, man.
Thank you.